Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed how when people tell you directions, they either use landmarks or science? You know, the landmarkers are the ones who will tell you the things you can't miss, the big obvious things. This giant oak tree, turn right there, and make another right at the big white fence, and you'll see a house. And another giant oak tree leaning across the yard. You can't miss it, they say. On the other hand, you have the scientists, you know, just go north on 24th Street for four blocks, turn right on Chestnut, go one block. First house on the north side, the address is 2501. Using landmarks or science, either way, it tells a story in a certain way. And when you're doing it the scientific way, you need a compass, street signs, numbering system. For the landmarkers, you only need what is obvious to help people clearly find the way. In his gospel, Luke begins his gospel very scientifically. As he tells about Christ's birth, he opens us to the world of kings and kingdoms. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And he tells us that Jesus began his ministry around the time of John the Baptist, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. That's all in the first three chapters of Luke. This creates a certain kind of image and foundation. We recognize the history. But notice the difference tonight. You read Luke's gospel as he moves to the crucifixion, he begins to use landmarks. He points to creation and the temple. What he tells us touches the very foundation of life. Life on this earth and eternal life with God. He says it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. You don't need a map of the land of Israel to know what is happening at the crucifixion. You don't need to be able to tell the difference between a governor and a tetrarch. Luke uses what is obvious so that anybody in the world can see what is happening, and all will believe in the graciousness of God if they see these obvious signs. He points to something as important and central to religion as the temple. He says to understand what is happening there at the crucifixion, think about the temple in Jerusalem where this huge curtain separates the people from their God. When the curtain in the temple is torn in two, you know that something has happened. There's a reason that in Acts 6, it records that many priests came to be followers of Christ. They saw what had happened. It was obvious. The way of worshiping God had changed. He comes to us no longer with the blood of animals, but with his own blood. He comes to us and forgives us because the death of the Son of God means that no more judgment needs to be meted out upon the children of Adam. Here is God's simple love, his simple statement of graciousness hanging there on the cross. He opens the door to forgiveness, complete and eternal. Jesus suffers the punishment for sin so that you might receive the love of God. If you look at the temple and what happened there and still need directions, Luke points us somewhere else. Something as universal as creation. He says, if you want to understand what happened there at the crucifixion of Jesus, you simply need to have lived in the world where the sun rises in the morning and makes its way across the sky to the other side. And when the sun is in the middle of the day, between the sixth hour and the ninth hour, when the sun should be up there in the middle of the sky and the sun stops shining, you know that something has happened. The way of the world has changed. The power of darkness has come close to Jesus. And for a moment, creation bows its head